This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
When they put together a rush plan, I think all of us have a high level of confidence that it's going to be executed when it comes to Greg because of his athleticism, how smart he is, and his ability to be able to take what we put together in the classroom to the grass and then being able to execute it. And it's vice versa. I think he has a lot of confidence in the coaches as well, and he's off to a great start.
From the classroom to the grass room. I like it. Leslie Frazier on Greg Rousseau. Bills 3-1, home to Pittsburgh. Sunday, they are a 14-point favorite-ish. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Thank you for listening. On the line now, the host of BetMGM Tonight, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider Trista Crick. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to check out the BetMGM Tonight podcast. For more of Trista's analysis, just search BetMGM wherever you find your podcasts. And if you have something strong to come with here, Trista, right away, be our guest. I got a rant of my own if you don't, and I would love to hear your reaction to it.
I would love to hear it. I don't have any rants. I did say that the Bills were going to win that game. I did say it was a very suspect line. Baltimore, I think, was +4. Hated that line. That's why you just take the Bills on the money line. I actually jumped on Bills +13.5 in the middle of that game. What was that number? That was just like an automatic play. Like, if you don't think Josh Allen's coming back, like, I don't know what you're smoking.
How about the money line at that point? What was that going to look like?
Oh, I didn't even see it. What was it? I mean, probably +500, maybe something like that, depending on where you were. I mean, it was big.
All right.
That's big value. I didn't have the stones to do that, but I did jump on +13.5. There was no shot. Bills were about to get blown out by multiple touchdowns with the grit of Josh Allen, who I am convinced he's the best quarterback in the league, by the way. Just convinced.
I have had a couple of these games. One, actually, it's funny that I'm thinking of this with you on the phone. Washington, UCLA the other night.
Yeah.
Where,
yeah,
like, UCLA was in control, and I looked, but Washington was favored, before kickoff. And I looked at the live odds, and it was Washington +13.5. I'm like, I'm taking that. I mean, I don't even remember what the score was at the time, but I think they were considered the better team, and it's the second quarter, and they're losing. Kind of like the same thing, even the same number, I think, from what you said. Is that, since we're talking about it, I mean, is that a kind of bet that you would like, you would say you'd recommend, even if, you know, the supposed better team, same thing, Bills a 3-point favorite, just like Washington. The supposed better team is down kind of early. Maybe there's an edge there, a spot there for bettors.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the best thing to do is to, first and foremost, get cable, right? As much as I cut the cord, when you've got live betting, you know, there's nothing worse than being on 30-second delay, right? There is no edge for you. But watching the game and sort of, I don't want to say internalizing, but sort of trying to get a sense of how the flow of the game is going to be, you know, where the potential edges are. I mean, Michael Penix Jr. turned the ball over twice, right? He had 2 interceptions in the first half of football. You have to imagine they're going to clean things up after halftime. And he's going to be able, you saw on the very first drive, Washington was able to score on UCLA. So, yeah, I think if you're watching the game and you get these massive numbers, for a team that goes down early and you know that they've got fight in them and it's an important game. I think Bills-Ravens is a very important game for both teams, right? Like, this is a test your metal, you know, step up in competition. What's it going to be like at the end of the day? And, you know, this is a team that almost went to the Super Bowl last year. So, yeah, if I can get a big number with the Bills ever, I'm just taking it on principle.
Right.
Boy, that streaming point is I've had a couple of different, whether it's on Saturdays or Sundays, moments where I'm looking at the odds of a game that I'm watching, and like nothing seems to be happening in the game, but the app, the gambling app, will tell you like it's ahead, right? So something's about to happen here, and so yeah, it can be tricky if you're trying to base what you want to do off of watching on TV if you're streaming, because sound like a lot, but it's enough to be a pretty big difference.
Absolutely.
Our friend Brad just texted me, Bulldog, that he's even got the receipt in the text. He bet the Bills at halftime, 20-10 was the score, and they were +560. So it was probably better than that before that touchdown, mm-hmm. right? 9 seconds left in the half.
Yeah.
All right.
What was your rant?
What's your rant, though?
Well, I'm going to save it for another minute, because we can talk about the Bills being a 14-point favorite here Sunday now, Trista. And we've talked, the three of us and you a little bit here and Bulldog and I other times, are the Bills a team that is, for the most part at least, spread proof? And now they...
No.
Is there no such thing?
No. I mean, the Bills are the closest thing to it. I said that maybe after week one, that there's no number that I'm uncomfortable taking the Bills. Bills at home, obviously, it's a different story than on the road, of course. But, I mean, if you look at the magic of Kenny Pickett, and you look what the Steelers do really well, I mean, maybe this is a scenario where you say you want to take the Bills first half, but that's not out yet. But +14 for the Steelers, and if I can even buy a 14.5, and what you're really doing there is just betting on math, that the Steelers could be down, you know, 3 touchdowns, and at the end of the game, they backdoor on some meaningless touchdown that we've seen. If you're a football fan, you've seen this, you know, countless times.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Kenny Pickett's got a lot to prove. I'm very excited about the Kenny Pickett experiment. I mean, this is now like the full board. We knew he was going to come in and be the starter at some point this year. The fact that it's now against the Bills is very exciting, very fun. You know, obviously they shouldn't have lost the Jets, but you're in the middle of a quarterback sort of switch. I think that was meaningful. So, yeah, I probably would not take the Bills -14. It just is a number that I don't like. I'm not comfortable. If I could get less, if it was like a 10.5, which is a very different scenario, maybe. But listen, Steelers are very gritty, and they obviously went toe-to-toe with the Bengals. Not to say that the Bengals are better than the Bills, but
yeah,
went toe-to-toe with the Bengals and ended up winning in overtime. So, you know, anything can happen. So I probably would not do that. I don't think they're spread-proof, no.
I think what happened in that game was turnovers. And it seems Pittsburgh, I don't really believe in this so much, like that certain teams know how to force turnovers. I mean, a lot of that is luck. But if any team does, maybe Pittsburgh, I don't know the numbers. I know that day, that's how they were able to stay in the game, even though they were dramatically outgained.
Right. It's like 5 turnovers, I think they had.
Yeah, and the Bengals had, 30-some first downs to 13 or whatever it was. But Pittsburgh stayed there, and they blocked a kick, and they did it. And Allen, for all his strengths, I mean, there's turnover potential. You know, that's part of the package with Allen. In Baltimore, it was a deflection, so it wouldn't be a play that you'd pick. I would criticize him for. In Miami, he had a bunch of close ones. Miami dropped a few.
Yep.
So,
yep.
You know, he takes some chances. They are throwing the ball shorter this year than ever with him. But, you know, that was 9 days ago where Miami had a chance at a few turnovers. So maybe there's an area where, like the Bengal game, I'm glad you thought to mention that, an underdog can stay close.
And, you know, I think the interesting thing for me, and I would love to actually know from you guys how meaningful you think that it is all the injuries to the receivers, obviously losing Jameson Crowder to an ankle injury. I think he broke it, right?
Right.
And then you've got Isaiah McKenzie, who is in concussion protocol. Like, these are things, these are weapons that get used, you know, intermittently to, you know, in a medium fashion in terms of how much volume. But, I mean, McKenzie's been getting more and more usage. I don't know if he's going to play. So how do you think that affects how Buffalo plays?
I think if they were to lose both Crowder and McKenzie, because that's kind of been a timeshare, and Crowder's definitely out. I think if McKenzie can't go, that's tough. I think if McKenzie's okay, I think the rookie Khalil Shakir, who had a couple of big catches on Sunday in Baltimore, can slide in and they'll be fine. But I think one more injury and you'd get maybe a little dicey.
Yeah, I think that's a big key part of the number being a little too high for me too.
Okay, here's my rant. I hope I live up to your, I'm sure, heightened expectations. Offensive, no, I've already messed it up. Comeback player of the year, Trista. Comeback player of the year. One of these that we're not allowed to bet on because it's not an actual sport. The awards.
Right.
The preseason favorite, as you may know, was Derrick Henry. And this made me crazy. Derrick Henry had a foot injury last year, which he returned from last year and played in the playoffs after having recovered, come back, if you will, from this injury. He's the preseason favorite, I think, because you're supposed to, like, not know that or something. Like, what? Okay, so he had an injury you get better from, and he got better, and now he's the comeback player of the year. Was just, like, it did not make any sense.
He already came back.
But, yeah, but I respect the odds world. Like, they had reason to think he would win. Like, if he had a big year, that he would win. And he's still 10-1, despite what the point I'm making. He is not the favorite. The favorite is Saquon Barkley.
Who also played pretty much all last year.
Who turned an ankle. There was a bad throw. He stepped on a guy's ankle, didn't play. The team was terrible. Who knows if he could have come back, but he didn't. Christian McCaffrey is second. I play a lot of fantasy football, Trista. I'm playing high stakes. I'm flying to Vegas. Most of the smart players, yeah.
He's got 183 teams,
yeah.
Trista.
I didn't want that to sound like I was bragging. I'm kind of embarrassed when I say it, but I want you to know.
183.
That's incredible.
I'm way over my head. Financial, I'm way over my head, but.
I need to know, DM me how much you paid, because I like
okay.
I'm fascinated by that.
I will do that as soon as we're done. Almost all the sharp players were like, get out of here with Barkley and McCaffrey injury prone nonsense. They'll be fine. I mean, the other guy, Jonathan Taylor is hurt now. Javonte Williams is hurt now. These guys are not. So yeah, we're all drafting McCaffrey one or two and Barkley at the first round. These are not comebacks. J.K. Dobbins, okay, serious knee injury. He's had kind of one good game, but okay. Lamar Jackson, sprained ankle last season. Lamar Jackson, 8-1 to win comeback player of the year. Brian Robinson is next. Washington rookie who was shot.
He hasn't even played.
He was shot.
What is he coming back from, though? Yeah, I mean, I know, and that is horrible. We can't make light of that. But he's not coming back. Like, hasn't played.
Right. And, I mean, I say this with sensitivity because of what happened to him. Days, like 2 days after it happened, Ron Rivera was like, yeah, we think there's a good chance he'll be back after the 4 weeks. Like, they were not really worried for him after they, you know, once they knew his condition and everything. Anyway, it's laughable.
Need to get rid of the award. So, I think they just need to get rid of the award.
Quickly, I'm almost done. The top six guys are all like almost a joke to me. Least right. of all Dobbins, but okay. Seven is Geno Smith. Now we're talking. Geno Smith.
Right.
Geno Smith, who even remembered him? And he's this journeyman backup.
He's not even on the BetMGM one either.
Well, somebody must know that all these points I'm making are irrelevant to whoever it is that votes on this award. Geno freaking Smith, Bulldog, imagine E.J. Manuel coming back into the league this year. It's not quite the same. Same draft.
Right, Smith never really left the league. But yeah.
Right. And he's super good. Like, that's my definition of comeback player of the year, Geno Smith. Just football irrelevance for like 9 years.
Yeah, no injury, just he's just been in the wasteland.
Am I right or am I right?
That's more of a comeback than any of the injured guys, I would say.
I think you're right about all of those things. And also, I thought it was just absolutely, and now it's gone, thankfully, But I thought it was just absolutely a slap in the face that Vegas had odds on Deshaun Watson for comeback player.
Oh, well, yeah.
But, that was a real thing as well.
That's
so
right.
It's just one of those deals where you're like, I don't like any of these options, you know?
I would be honored. This is rude of me to even bring up, but I would be honored to go on your show and say all this. Because I want the betting world to know that there is a major problem, at least you and I think, and Bulldog, that there's a major problem with whatever the terms are of this comeback player of the year nonsense.
It's getting a little too ambiguous, isn't it?
I mean, there's lots of definitions, lots of...
But when you're throwing guys in who missed a half the year with a sprained ankle, that's insanity. I need 10 torn away from bone. I need tears. I need surgeries. I need real adversity, not like, if there were a few more weeks in the season, I'd be back. Like, get out of here.
Like DeAndre Hopkins was suspended. Like,
yeah.
Why is he on there for comeback player of the year?
Allen Robinson is on the list. He's having a terrible season. He'll never win. But he's coming back from not caring about playing for the Bears anymore.
That's what
he would be coming back from. If he had a big year and were to, like, win this award, the comeback story would be, yeah, he hated the Bears organization and kind of quit on them.
Yes.
Not even hurt.
Exactly.
Wasn't even hurt.
I mean, I guess if Michael Thomas had a big year, he would definitely be someone that you could look at because he's been gone for 2 years due to injury.
Right.
So for him
to become
like what they thought, that works. That's like the only one that really jives for me. What is Juju Smith-Schuster coming back from? Like being in the dark pit of Pittsburgh? Like, I don't understand.
Well, I'm glad. Yeah,
not getting to learn about offense until he got to Kansas City. That's what he's coming back from. Wasn't that nugget dropped on Sunday?
I'm glad we had this chat.
And Allen Robinson is just coming back from Matt Nagy. That's it.
He's like, coming back from sleeping through meetings. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you guys. I do. I'm aligned. We are aligned on this.
Let's use your power, please. Let's get this out there and try to save the integrity of this award, please. All right. Use your platforms. Use your socials, whatever you're comfortable with.
Facebook. You know what? I agree. I'm going to make a note of that.
Okay.
How many times have you thrown something on Judge to hit 62?
None. Zero. I think he's going to finish with 61. I don't think anybody wants him to get over 61. I think they're just going to pitch. I'm surprised he got to 61. I don't know why people just stopped.
Yeah, that took a while, too. Yeah.
Yeah, like, just pitch around him. I don't even know why they gave him that meat pitch. I have no idea. And, like, can we talk about a rant? I know that this is, like, probably tired. People have already said this in your universe, but like, we cannot have Judge live looking during other sports. I don't want him. I can't stand him. I'm fine with you giving it to me after. It's fine. If I see it on Twitter, then cut in and show me it. I don't want to see every at bat, especially when he's swinging at everything and it looks like a little dreidel out there and it's very clear that he's being pitched around. No, I don't want it in the middle of my Rams-Niners game. I don't want it in the middle of Clemson-NC State. I don't want it in the middle of Wake Forest, whoever Wake Forest is playing.
No matter who cares if they're playing. It doesn't even matter who they're playing. You don't want it.
I am tuning in for a different sport. This is not like – I don't know what the equivalent would be, but I'm fine. If it was like nobody's cutting in Steph Curry three-pointers, and when he was trying to break the record for three-pointers and Ray Allen's record, we didn't get that. I don't want any more live look-ins on another sport, especially if I'm watching something that is completely different.
Know what else?
Baseball, totally different.
Know what else? Not that you're not 100% right on that, too. Know what else? It's not even the record.
Not even the record.
It's, you know what? They're calling it the American League record.
It's the American League
as
record.
As opposed to like the non-steroid record. Hey, look over here. It's the American League record. Who even cares? I mean, the Phillies are playing the Astros tonight. American League, National, what's the difference? DH in the National League? Just
no one cares.
No one cares. I mean, someone cares, but we don't. How about that? We'll settle.
What would it be if the record was held for the Astros? If it was a player on the Astros, would it be the record when the Astros were in the National League, if they were in the National League when that came out? Like, or would it be the American League because they're currently in the American League?
Oh, and plus it would all just be like, oh, well, they're banging a drum somewhere. That's why this is happening.
Right.
It's the Astros. Okay. Well, we'll talk some baseball next week. Let's remember to do that with the playoffs starting up.
Yeah, baseball is finally here.
Can't wait. Just don't put it on during other sports coverage. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Trista. Great talking with as always.
Talk to you guys next week.
Trista Crick, BetMGM.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.